Welcome to Growing Older with Gusto. This is your host, Gail Zuckerman, and on this podcast, we deal with something everyone faces, growing older. For years, I've been listening to those who have gone before and even blogging about what to do and how to do it. Now it's my chance to share with you these really useful strategies to living life to the fullest. Whether we're 30, 60, or beyond, Growing Older with Gusto explores how to make the most of your life. In each episode, you'll hear from different people and learn how to prosper at any age and with different types of conditions and go about embracing the future. So grab your earbuds and subscribe into our content as we hope that you too will join us on our journey to finding joy and fulfillment and growing older with gusto. Hi, I'm Gail Zuckerman, host of Growing Older with Gusto. Today we have Ken Brown, our third speaker in our collaborative series with the Lustgarten Foundation. The Lustgarten Foundation is the largest not-for-profit organization dedicated solely to raising money for pancreatic cancer research. Ken Brown is a pancreatic cancer survivor who became involved with the Lustgarten Foundation through his experience after his diagnosis. He's been a survivor for several years, and he's got lots of surprises to tell us about his experiences. And one that I'll share a little bit up front was his ability after his treatment to take a lifetime dream trip. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But Ken is working hard still at lawyering in Chicago, but has kept his ongoing relationship with the Lustgarten Foundation. So we are more than pleased today to have Ken Brown on our show. And I will say this is his, welcome back, Ken. This is his second time on the show. But he was so inspirational, and we wanted to get him back on. And so he graciously agreed to give us some time today. So thank you very much, and welcome. Look forward
thank
to
you,
catching
Gail.
Up with you.
Thank you,
really
Gail.
Look forward to... Sure.
Thank you.
Ken, tell us, how long would you say you've been a cancer survivor?
Do you want the exact number of days? But
no,
counting?
No, no, that's okay. No, well, I understand that, but...
January 8th was the celebration of my sixth year of being cancer-free.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Can you characterize this part of your life and what it's like?
I have...
the past 6 years.
Yeah, I have told people, and I say this time hesitantly because if anyone's going through what I've gone through, they sometimes don't understand what I say, but... having cancer and having survived pancreatic cancer probably changed my life for the better. And by that, I mean that I started focusing on things that before cancer, I never really thought about much. It's sort of like your life, you know, BC and AD, how we go ahead and characterize history. Before cancer, after diagnosis, and so many amazing things have happened in historical timelines, BC, AD. It also applies in my life. So I truly have come to appreciate all the things, and basically to summarize it, every day is a blessing. The other thing I would maybe mention is that 6 years ago, my world was turned upside down with the cancer diagnosis. And I've been sharing for the past few months with people who have been struggling with our worldwide pandemic that now everyone's world has been turned upside down. The only thing I share with people is there's a lot of positives that come from having your world turned upside down, and hopefully... this will also apply to the pandemic too.
Is there anything specifically, other than feeling like things have gotten better, in what way have they gotten better? What's really different about your life now?
I just appreciate everything. I've been able to go ahead and focus on the things that make me happy. Before I was a workaholic, I would put work before a lot of things. Once I came to the realization that life doesn't go on forever and you have to appreciate every single day, that you truly have to look at the things that make you happy. And And even after my diagnosis and after my treatment, there was no guarantee. I mean, unfortunately, as the Lustgarten Foundation knows, there is pancreatic cancer is, I think, still the only cancer that has a single-digit survival rate of 5 years. That has been improving dramatically. So I had no illusions in terms of how what my life may take. But I came to the conclusion was I was going to figure out a way to, for whatever period of time that we have left. And as that old saying, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anyone. It drove the point home. And I figured out a way that I was going to do what was going to make me happy. And that included, I love to travel. My wife and I love to travel. I love to spend time with my grandchildren. And I use that every opportunity I can to go out to visit my grandchildren in California. I still enjoy working, and I pursue the things in work that I like to do. I don't do the things I don't like to do anymore. And I also had, as you happen to mention, an opportunity to fulfill a lifelong dream of hiking Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa with my cancer surgeon.
Your display of positivity through climbing Mount Kilimanjaro shows us that you do have such a positive spirit. I was wondering, how do you keep your spirit in check and always up so much? And what would you tell others about how to do that?
When you're confronted with adversity, and this applies to obviously your cancer diagnosis, or anything that's going on in your life that makes it very difficult. And that includes, I guess, people who are enduring the pandemic. You have two choices. You can either go ahead and let it consume you and defeat you, or you can figure out this is part of life and how to make the best of it. I had a choice, I recognized that very early on. I was either going to say, why did this happen to me, and feel sorry for myself, or make the decision that I was going to do everything that I can in my power to go ahead and maximize my chances for treatment, and thereafter my chances for recovery, and most important of all, chances to do the things that I enjoy in life. So I think that if they do studies of people who have been able to survive adverse circumstances, a positive outlook is definitely something that helps. And I'm naturally inclined that way. I think at our last interview, I talked about the fact that some people look at a glass of water and they'll say, well, it's right, half empty. And I've always viewed it as half full. And I think that when I talk to people about some of the things that helped me get through my journey, being a positive person and having a positive outlook is very, very helpful. And I would encourage everyone who is facing it to try to find the things that make them happy and to recognize that tomorrow's another day, another treatment, another opportunity to go ahead and do the things that they want to do.
Ken, do you have any other lofty goals for the future as far as adventures?
Well, I do have a lofty goal. Unfortunately, the pandemic has changed my bucket list items. I don't think I'm going to be doing any traveling in the foreseeable future, other than my number one bucket item now is to be able to get out to California to see my grandchildren who live out there. I've been very fortunate that I have grandchildren in the area that I get to go ahead and visit and see them at an appropriate social distance space between us.
Right.
But now I am missing the opportunity. It was my second youngest grandson's birthday 2 days ago. It was his second birthday. And normally I would have been on a plane and I would have been out there just to, you know, that's the thing that gives me pleasure, and to see the other grandchildren. And I think that if you look on the internet and you see all the questions and when this crisis is going, one of the biggest things people say is for grandparents, when are they going to be able to see or hold their grandchildren again? So I told my wife I wanted to rent an RV. I've never done that. And I don't know how easy they are to drive. And I've also heard that it's very difficult to get them because other people are thinking the same thing. And we were going to get an RV and go out there. So my new goal for this year will be to somehow, some way, get out to California to visit my grandchildren. After that, I will reevaluate and probably start adding some other places in the world that I have not seen because, as I said, travel is something that gives me a lot of pleasure.
Anything top of mind for post-COVID-19 that's on your list?
Unfortunately, not really. I mean, with my attitude, I have sort of embraced some of the things that some of the changes that COVID has brought about. I used to I miss the socialization with our friends, mm-hmm. and the close contact with family, but COVID has forced us life to slow down a lot. I spent a lot of time at home. My wife and I have spent so far, this weather has cooperated. We spent a lot of time outside. I've started doing some do-it-yourself projects, which I haven't attempted in years. And it reminds me of a time where I used to be, everyone's running. We're running to the health club. We're running to work. We're running to appointments. We got to go shopping. We've learned how to do other things now. I've become an expert in shopping online. My wife does all of that. We do remote pickups. I've learned how to do things. I've learned how to, I didn't know you can deposit checks without going to the bank. You know, these are new things. You take your phone and you snap a photograph and magically gets deposited into your bank. I've learned how to do Zoom calls and still interact with people. So these are all things that we're learning new skills. So, I'm going to hope that when COVID has gone and we know it's going to go on, I will not go back to the way life used to be. I'm going to figure out a way that it'll continue to be better. And that's what I look forward to.
That's great. It sounds like you're learning a lot still. So let's chat a little bit and turn the conversation to nutrition. How large a role would you say nutrition plays in your health today? And how has it changed post treatment and everything?
Nutrition is always important, and that was anybody who's going through a difficult physical time. You have to give your body the ammunition. In my belief, you have to maintain your nutrition, and there's a lot of different theories out there. And I think that any cancer center or an organization like Lustgarten, you know, probably make available information on talking to nutritionists and helping. Your body needs whatever's possible to help fight an illness. And it's also good. I have been fortunate that my wife changed our eating habits before I got sick. So I always have ate healthy. My diagnosis and my Whipple surgery and removing part of a pancreas obviously causes some issues, and it affects everybody differently. This is what I will tell people. Over the years, your body has an amazing capacity to change, and the pancreas helps you with break down enzymes. It produces enzymes that help you break down and absorb your food. I didn't have that capacity, and I used to take supplements on a daily basis to help me with that. I'm happy to tell people I don't need the supplements anymore. And I don't know, I have never really talked to anybody if that's a factor that is common with people who have survived as long as I have survived. But what it tells me is that I do have flare-ups. I have issues digestive-wise that I think everyone who's either getting chemo of any type of cancer treatment, you're going to have these. But these, again, are bumps in the road that I look at. And it's something that you just stick with it. I just came off probably three of the worst digestive months I've had in a long time, and I started getting nervous, but like, I'm pleased to say past month, everything's been great. So I think eating at home rather than eating out at restaurants is, I'm going to attribute mm-hmm. to my wife's cooking and eating healthy has helped improve my nutrition and my energy level and the things I'm able to do.
So I read that people who are diagnosed with diabetes, somehow there's a correlation between diabetes and pancreatic cancer. Have you heard that?
I have not.
So I was just wondering, do you curb your sugar intake, or just out of curiosity?
Well, the only thing about sugar, and again, I read very little when I got sick. I stayed off the internet. Mm-hmm. But the little bit I did read is that, and whether this is true or not, sugar is not a good ally for someone with cancer. I think it creates more problems. And I had a friend who was a pharmacist, and he was telling me of some studies about having an alkaline diet. So cutting out the sugar is something that obviously if you can do, go for it. My wife started when this all started, she discovered baking. We've been married. We've been together for 50 years, and I think the last time she baked something was 30 years ago, and she discovered this opportunity to bake, and she was fabulous at it. And I, after like 3 weeks, I finally said, stop, are you trying to kill me? I'm not supposed to be eating this stuff. And fortunately, we've been either giving it away or we've cut down on that.
That's great. We touched a little bit about the fact that you're missing getting to see your grandchildren, which is totally understandable. Talk a little bit about how your relationships with friends and family kind of changed from pre-diagnosis to after treatment and diagnosis and treatment. Did those change, and how did they change?
Well, I think most of my friends and probably my family did not think I was going to survive. I might have been the only one who said I was going to survive this. And I didn't have a real basis for it. But so people reached out to me because I think they recognized that maybe I wasn't going to be around in 6 months or a year or whatever it was going to be. And I really appreciated that. As I said, I use that as an opportunity to truly recognize who was important in my life, and mm-hmm. to spend time with the people. Last year, my wife did a surprise party for me. I turned 70 in June, and
congratulations.
Thank you. And 2 months later, this is June of last year. And then 2 months later, we were going to have meet some friends at one of their country clubs. And this is going to be they were going to take me out to dinner to celebrate my birthday. And so when I get there, they said, oh, let's walk down the bluff. I want to show you something. We're walking down the bluff, and there was a party going on. There was all these people out on the bluff, and it must have been 70 or 80 people. And I'm walking, I'm talking to my friend, and I look up, and in a split second, I came to the realization that every person on that bluff was somebody I knew, and they were important in my life, and they were all there.
Wow.
It was a surprise party for me. Oh. And then my two grandchildren came running out of the pack, and then I saw my brother-in-law from California, and I saw a friend from Colorado. So I had, you know, and I said to have everybody in one place, and I use it as an opportunity.
Oh, wow.
I use it as an opportunity to say, you know, I've said a lot of things over the years, but I never really had an opportunity to thank each and every one of you for the support and encouragement that they gave me. So
that's wonderful.
I was very lucky.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about the role that the Lustgarten Foundation has played in your life and obviously continues to play in your life and your health. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, as I mentioned, I think when I met you last year, I knew very little about the organizations. That I was embarrassed to say that I did not even know that pancreatic cancer had a World Pancreatic Cancer Day, as well as a month of November. And then as I started doing some research, I realized that there are a few organizations out there, and one being the Lustgarten Foundation, that every year has a cancer walk and is doing an incredible job of trying to help fight this disease. I have realized that because I'm so fortunate, every opportunity that I can, whether it's helping one person who's just been recently diagnosed, or maybe is becoming a candidate for the Whipple procedure, or has recovered and is now suffering symptoms and having trouble digesting, I have told everybody my story, and I have made it known that if I can help in any way possible, I would be glad to do so. So I was honored last year when Lustgarten at their cancer walk asked me to speak for a few minutes to share some of my stories. More importantly, when I was there, after I got done, I met two or three people who are cancer survivors, or they're going through the treatment, and I can't tell you how important that is. So me, if you can help one person on a journey, that's pretty amazing. An organization like Lustgarten is helping thousands of people. I worry about what this pandemic is going to do to organizations like Lustgarten, and how they're going to continue to get funds to help people the way they have. But I'm confident that we will get through all of this. But I feel very honored to have become involved with Lustgarten, and continue to look forward to helping them, making myself available in any way possible.
Well, thank you, Ken. I'm out of questions unless you have any other comments, but I so appreciate you being on the show today. And of course, you've given us so much information about what your life's been like all along, and continues to be. And we're thrilled that you're back on the show today.
Well, the only thing I'd like to say is I think this is the correct date. I don't know how the event's going to be this year, their annual fundraising event in July in April. I think it's July 19th. But I would encourage people to go on Lustgarten's website. I had gone to – I had my cancer treatment at Northwestern in Chicago. Every year they do the cancer center there does a similar type of thing. They do a cancer walk. This year, of course, it was a virtual walk, and you were able to register your team and go out and do something and have a walk. I'm going to encourage everyone to do the same thing this year. I think there were 970 teams, if I remember correctly, who signed up for Lustgarten last year. People should do the same thing. We should have 1,000 teams this year.
It will be virtual. It will be virtual this year.
No, I understand that.
Right.
But I just because you're not actually physically doing it, I want to see that you can get still 1,000 people signing up and commemorating the day and making the contributions and raising awareness. My wife and I did it. So what we ended up, we put on our shirts. I put on my purple hat from what I got from the last Lustgarten walk, and did the walk for Northwestern. And I'm looking forward to doing the same thing on July 19th. And I hope a lot of people join me.
Great. Well, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. The word is out, and I know the people at Lustgarten are on top of it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Growing Older with Gusto. I'm Scott Winteroth, co-producer. And on behalf of Gail Zuckerman and myself, we would like to invite you to our website for additional resources on Growing Older with Gusto, as well as past episodes of the show. Please consider sharing this podcast with a friend. Or if you know someone who is growing older with gusto, please have them contact us so we can interview them on the show. Our contact information is on our website. Thank you. This podcast is a Front and Social production. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.